Life after life. Jan, accompanied by his girlfriends, was resting near a beautiful lake where magnificent lotus flowers floated on the surface. Suddenly, Kadzer approached him with a gloomy expression.
I must inform you of sad news. You are to face a dreadful judgment.
For a moment, Jan was frightened, imagining pots of boiling tar and red-hot frying pans that devils would force him to lick. However, in the next moment, he realized that Kadzer was joking, but that the judgment was really waiting for him.
Yes. Sooner or later, everyone goes through this majestic mystery. Only the most severe sinners face an immediate judgment, and it's like hell for them. They are almost immediately transformed, or live in the lower realms of the subtle level, close to the earth. But this judgment is not a punishment. It is a way of spiritual rebirth, for God does not wish to punish anyone. He enlightens the person, makes them understand the truth, teaches the right perspective on life. And the sooner one comprehends it all, the quicker the suffering ceases, and they start living in God's grace.
Angels flew to Jan and carried him to a majestic white temple filled with divine light and the presence of the Almighty. Upon entering, Jan felt as if he had split into his ordinary self, and the most exalted spiritual part of his soul, which seemed dormant until that moment and rarely appeared. Now, he saw himself from the perspective of this elevated part, from his spirit. Before him, his entire life began to unfold, but he saw it in an extraordinary way. He simultaneously felt every participant in any event. Their thoughts, emotions, experiences, physical sensations, and their perspectives on the situation. He saw how his parents experienced worry and fear for him, how they, in their ignorant care, tried to do what they believed was best for their child. He felt deep sympathy for them and shame for his own rude behavior towards them, for his disdainful attitude towards their love and care. On one hand, he saw how through his rudeness and rejection of them, he was defending his freedom, what he believed was right for himself, his individuality. But on the other hand, he felt compassion for them and understood that with every action of theirs, they wished him well, even when that goodness was unpleasant and seemed to encroach upon his independence. He witnessed how they would push him to go to school, how they compelled him to study his lessons, and how he would constantly resist and rebel against any attempt they made to educate him. He saw how much pain and discomfort his rudeness, constant accusations, and claims that they were infringing on his freedom and interests caused them. He felt their pain, their concerns for his future, and their suffering from his foolish antics and from the scoldings they received from teachers during parent-teacher meetings because of his misbehavior. He saw himself as a student in school, and how the teachers, in their selfless ignorance, simply tried to make him better, to impart what they believed was knowledge. He realized how difficult it was for them to deal with this constant resistance and misbehavior. There he is, swearing at the algebra teacher, demonstratively leaving the classroom, knocking her journal off the desk, and slamming the door. Then, with his friends, he pours glue on a chair, causing the teacher to get stuck to it, abruptly losing balance and falling on her side with a chair. He feels her pain and distress over their foolish prank. He feels uncomfortable and ashamed of this behavior. Then, they attach a bucket of urine above the door, and as the teacher enters, he gets drenched by its contents. He senses the teacher's embarrassment, his impotent anger, and irritation towards the students. A feeling of guilt and regret arises within him for this action. Next, they taunt and beat up a weak student named Goga, making fun of him. He forcefully pulls Goga's nose, kicks him from behind, and he himself feels Goga's pain and fear, as well as his suppressed state. A sense of sadness and compassion emerges within him for such a behavior. Then, He himself gets beaten up by enemies from a different class, right in front of the entire school, shoved into a dirty puddle. He stands up, all wet, while they mock and laugh at him. He feels their mocking and self-satisfied state, and it saddens him to see how they are destroying their souls by cultivating negative qualities. Later, seething with powerless anger, he envisions himself beating, torturing, and mutilating his enemies. Although it was only in his imagination, he genuinely experiences their pain and suffering, but in a weaker form than it would be in reality. He feels regret for letting malice and vengeance take control of him, and allowing himself to imagine all these cruel scenes. Then he befriends Inna. He merely wanted sex, while she sought love for a lifetime. He feels guilty for simply using her sexually, realizing that apart from possessiveness and groundless jealousy, he had nothing to offer her. There was no genuine love. He senses her emotional involvement with him, her constant thoughts about him, her care, and his own coldness and indifference towards her. He remembers his constant reproaches and hurtful words, which deeply affected her and caused her suffering, as she longed for the love and tenderness she desired from him. How could he cheat on her with one of the girls at the drunken party in the restroom? And when she found out about it and felt hurt, she started crying. He spat at her and left, without even attempting to console her. He experienced all her thoughts, all her suffering, saw the world through her eyes, and was horrified that he didn't know or understand the person who was with him. Back then, he couldn't understand how she endured his antics, indifference, and rudeness. But now, he felt her attachment to him, that he was the closest and most beloved person to her. He felt bitter regret for how heartlessly he treated her, not understanding or reciprocating her feelings. How she endured all his antics and insults. He empathized deeply with her, realizing that she got involved with such a fool and callous person like him. He couldn't comprehend how she could love him at all, how she could tolerate everything he did. He saw that she had a strong need to love someone, to be with a man, to have a partner. It was the first time he saw himself and the world through a woman's eyes, and he was astonished at how different his perception was from hers. To him, she was just one of many, with whom he merely satisfied his desires. He was with her only because she herself imposed herself on him, because it was convenient for him, as if to be like everyone else, like everyone has girls, so he should have one too. But to her, he was the closest and dearest person whom she constantly thought about, even about things he never paid attention to. How he looked, what he said, how he breathed, and how his heart beat when they slept together. Meanwhile, he saw in her only a cute girl, always ready to let him have sex with her and running after him like a puppy. He showed no interest in her emotions, thoughts, or inner world, living solely in his own perception. In the end, he caused her so much pain with his suicide that she felt her life had ended along with his death. He didn't even know or think about how deeply she experienced their relationship and his death. He felt profound sorrow for his callousness, heartlessness, and indifferent attitude towards someone who loved him so much. Someone who was so attached to him. He felt utterly unworthy and unsuitable for such love, feeling deserving only of condemnation and contempt from her and from everyone else. Tears of remorse choked his soul for his heartlessness, callousness, and rudeness towards all people, for his selfishness, for only thinking about himself, and for disregarding the feelings and desires of others. He saw from an outsider's perspective how he treated his friends and acquaintances, his constant arrogance and haughtiness, his unhealthy tendency to compare himself to others, to see who was cooler, wealthier, had a better appearance. and his envy towards those whom society considered more successful, smarter, wealthier, with better girls or fancier cars. He saw the fabricated nature of these comparisons, their silliness, how they are imposed through movies, conversations with others, the constant desire to be superior to others, the foolish pursuit of all attributes or success dictated by advertisements, TV shows, and interactions with peers equally obsessed with prestige and coolness like him. He constantly aimed to resemble the coolest movie heroes or people within his circle of acquaintances. He found it both amusing and shameful that he engaged in such foolish games of coolness, envy, and comparison, while considering himself special, the smartest, and free from societal conventions, even though he was entirely woven into these conventions and resembled all the other guys in his circle. He felt like a complete fool, a parrot repeating others' words, a monkey imitating everything he saw. He felt that he could no longer be such a fool, that he was repulsive and disgusting to himself. Yet he didn't know how to change, how to become different. He no longer wanted to live as he was, but he didn't know how to change everything at once, experiencing horror and shame from his own existence. After the frightening trial, Jan turned to the angel.
I saw that sin is not just a person's actions, but a destructive negative process existing within our psyche and our souls, which leads to bad deeds, but more often manifests in negative thoughts and painful emotions. It is akin to a disease in the physical body. And practically all chronic physical illnesses are the result of destructive processes in the soul. I saw in myself greed, jealousy, vengeance, offense, cowardice, judgment of others, and initially pleasurable qualities like pride and selfishness. But they later turned into suffering in the soul. If one sees someone as better, or believes that they lacked something, or things didn't turn out as they wished, I saw that because of these negative processes, I couldn't be happy, couldn't dwell in the grace and love that were initially given to me by God. So what was I supposed to do to stop these painful manifestations of the psyche and find joy, inspiration, and elevated states that are inherent to a healthy soul?
First and foremost, you need to see the entire spectrum of negative states within yourself and acknowledge that they are bad because they exist as long as a person believes that having them is normal, that they can't do without them. When one clings to these states and justifies them in every way, considering them even useful or fair towards the bad phenomena in life from their perspective, when they acknowledge this and want to detach from this filth, they must see on what basis of lies these states exist within them. Perhaps they believe that they have the right to be bad if others don't do what they want. That someone owes them something. That everyone must treat them in a certain way. Or they elevate and praise themselves, seeking to tickle their pleasure center through it. And then get angry that nobody recognizes them, doesn't treat them as this great person. Or they start imagining or recalling different negative situations and begin to fear that they will happen, falling into sadness, or getting irritated at everyone. In him arises suspicion and malice towards those who supposedly could claim his position or wealth, not realizing that they were temporarily given to him by God, and can also be taken away. When you see all this deceit and expose it, refusing to succumb to it, replacing it with proper positive thoughts, you will rid yourself of your sins and be able to exist in a state of infinite bliss, originally granted to your soul by God.
After the dreadful judgment, an understanding bestowed by God suddenly descended upon Jan.
God is infinite in everything, and together with paradise, he created even such heavy worlds as our earth, for he couldn't create one without also bringing forth its opposite. He couldn't create paradise without also creating hell, as he is completeness. Yet, hell and paradise, good and evil, ignorance and omniscience, he uses for souls to gain temporary experiences of these diverse emotions and attain full comprehension of God and his infinite creation, becoming similar to him. It's neither punishment nor reward, but boundless knowledge, for God imparts knowledge not through books, but through the experiences of life. However, having experienced evil, ignorance, and suffering, we will never return to them, for there is no meaning in endless repetition of the same. This is similar to a mountain hike where we witness breathtaking beauty. But at the same time, the journey is not without difficulties. Yet, those difficulties are temporary, and after overcoming them, we will never return to their painful trials and lessons.
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website www.amazon1.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.